Welcome to Philip Ministries' second podcast. You know, God is always looking for a man in whom he can start a legacy with. On my way to Bangalore, India, God revealed to me a message about Gideon and how he takes a man from where he is, no matter what his past was. You know, Gideon was the son of a disobedient father that allowed the devil to steal from the God's inheritance for that family. But he came to that son and said, "You are a mighty warrior." And he led that son from his environment to being the leader and deliverer of a nation. God wants to do that with your life. God is always looking for a man to start a legacy with. Will you be that man? Find out what he did with Gideon, and he can do it with you. God bless you as you listen.
God bless you. Good morning. Hallelujah. Your brethren in America send you greetings. We're all one family. Amen. Are we one family? Do we serve one Lord? One Savior? Yeah, hallelujah. God is good. Let's pray before we get started. Lord God, I just thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you love these people, Lord. Lord God, I thank you for the destinies, Lord God, that you have for them in their lives, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the Word of God. Lord, it is anointed. It is true. And it brings breakthrough in our lives, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus, anoint me, Lord, that I may bring the Word of God to these people, Lord God, that it may bring breakthrough and new life into their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As Reverend Mark says, I've worn many hats. Right now I'm wearing the businessman hat. My first calling is to my Lord, and then to my home. I have four children. I've been married 12 years, and God has been very, very good to me. God has really given me a heart for fathers and for men in particular. And the message today is really about what God wants to do to give you a new name. If you'll turn to Proverbs 22:1, we'll get started. Thank you, Lord. In Proverbs 22:1, it says, "A good name is more desirable than riches, to be esteemed more than silver or gold." A good name is more desirable than riches, to be esteemed more than silver or gold. The world tells you opposite, that riches and gold are to be more esteemed than a good name. What is a good name worth? The Bible says it is more desirable. From the Lord, it is more desirable. God wants to give you a good name. A good name is not made in one decision. A good name is made after making good decisions, after good decisions, after good decisions. A good name is not made overnight. A good name is made over time. And this is what God wants to give you. I want to ask you a question. When you think of your name, what do you think of? What comes to mind? When I thought about my name, I would think there would be certain things that would be questionable in being, my last name is Mangum. There would be certain things that are, you know, questionable in my past because I bear that name. What do you think of? What does it represent? What does your name represent to others, to yourself? God's plan for you, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, is that he wants to give you a good name. Not only for you to walk in the benefit of God, but for those that follow you to walk in the benefits of the Lord. If those that follow you, spiritual sons and daughters, if you're a spiritual leader or a father, your own sons and daughters, if God were to ever call them to serve him with 100% of their heart, would the name that they bear from you be an inspiration, or would it be a wall to them that they would have to scale to become what God had called them to be? Do you live and do you have such a good name that your sons and daughters said, if I could only be half the man or woman that my parents were, I will surely fulfill what God has called me to do. Or do you leave a name in which they would have to scale that wall to be 100% committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him no matter what, to endure and persevere to obtain the prize that they are being called to? What is your legacy? God scours the earth and he's looking for a man like Abraham. God is always looking for a man to start a legacy with. He's looking for men that will say yes to him, and through him, that man, a whole nation can be born of faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will hold God's hand through into dangerous places, risky places, into unknown places, walking by faith, holding God's hand. Turn to Revelations 3:8. We're going to be skipping around a little bit in the Bible, but we will land in Judges eventually. Revelations 3:8. Hallelujah. It says, this is Jesus speaking to the church of Philadelphia. I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. God is placing before every Christian, every believer, an open door. And that open door is an invitation into a new life and a new legacy for you, your life today, and for the life of those that follow you. What God has planned for you, no devil can steal. Only you can give away. You can say, like Esau traded his birthright. You can trade your birthright, but God wants to give you something. And that what he wants to give you is a new name. That is the open door that stands before you. And later on, in verse 12, he says, to him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on that man my new name. Who desires to have the Lord write on them a name that he has given you from heaven? Anyone? Does anyone desire that? I desire that. I desire that. God desires to start a succession of godly generations and have you built upon, or have you built upon the godly generation that you have to bring it to the next level. In Exodus 10:4, you don't have to turn there, it says that God loves to show love and kindness to 1,000 generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. That is the promise. I will show to 1,000 generations my love for those that love me and keep my commandments. Don't you want that promise for your children? Don't you want that promise for your grandchildren? Don't you want that promise for the spiritual sons and daughters that God brings to you, that you are discipling and raising up and sending out? I will show my love to 1,000 generations. That is God's promise. One other thing, and I did not speak about this at the earlier service, but I felt led of the Lord to do it for this service. Your wife, if you're a man, your wife bears your name if you're married, or will if you're going to get married. In Ruth 3:9, it talked about Ruth coming under Boaz's, the corner of his garment, because it was Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. She was coming underneath a man with a good name, a godly name. What is, I'll talk to you men, what is the experience of your wife in taking on your name? Is it good? Is it a blessed experience? God wants you to have a good name. And I'm going to use a story, or the Lord led me to a story of Gideon to talk about a man who, in the context of his family and his culture, did not know how to serve the Lord. But God prophetically spoke to him a new name and gave him a new destiny, which he used his little faith to exercise and eventually fulfilled the call of God on his life to be a new man. So the open door before you that no one can shut is an invitation into a new life and a new legacy. Let's go to Judges 6, and then we're going to stay in Judges. Judges 6. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midians. From the very beginning, the word again, it means it was a pattern of disobedience from father to son, from mother to daughter, to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Because it had been happening again, again, again. Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So there was this tendency in Gideon's family for them to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. But in Ezekiel 18, you don't have to turn there. There's a scripture, you can write it down though. There's a scripture that says that the son does not share the guilt of their father. And it goes on to say that the son seeing the consequences of disobedience of their father, they can choose to not live that way. Now let me ask you this. How many here are first generation Christians? You're the first one to follow Jesus in your home, in your family. First one. Amen. Amen. So the rest of you, amen. Amen. Others, first one. Okay, amen. Amen. So the others of you are building upon a godly legacy where your mother or your father, they follow Jesus Christ. This message is for you as well, because it's a message of building upon what God has done in their life. So he had, Gideon grew up in a culture of disobedience where those around him and in his whole family did evil in the sight of the Lord. And in verse 2 it says, because the power of the Midians was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. The opposition was so severe from the devil because of their disobedience that God had given them land and the devil had driven them out. The Midianites had driven them out. And so then Gideon was being raised in caves and mountain clefts and in strongholds. God had given them a land to live on, a promise. But because of disobedience, his father had to go and hide away and raise Gideon up not in God's inheritance. This is something I believe the Lord has revealed to me, is that for every marriage, God has a wedding gift for every wedding. And it's a wedding, it's a gift of a spiritual inheritance. It's saying, when you get married, you are a brand new family. And God says, here's my gift, all the promises of God, all the promises in this word. It can be yours for your family, for your marriage, for those that follow you. Just like Israelites has an inheritance, we have a spiritual inheritance from the Lord. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. That is one of many of the promises of God that he has for you and your home and your family. I know the plans I have for you. God through had given Gideon's father land and said, prosper, be blessed. But because of disobedience, he was not living in the blessings of God in his home, but he was raising his family under distress as they were hiding away from the enemy. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises of God has made, they are all yes in Christ. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Do you understand that when you follow Jesus Christ, every promise in this book can be yours? For you, your home, and those that follow you. It can be. The scripture teaches that they are yes in Christ. Jesus paid the price. He became our righteousness. When you read the Old Testament and it says, if you do this, then I will do this. Jesus did the if you did this. Jesus did that for us. He became righteousness for us, or became the sin punishment for us, that we may share in his righteousness. All God promises are yes in Christ. But God waits for us through Jesus Christ to say the amen, to bring glory to God, to agree with him. If there are promises in the Bible for your children, it said the children of the righteous will be mighty in the land. That's a promise. And if you say, well, I don't feel very righteous, well, you are righteous in Christ. So do you say the amen to that promise over your children? Do you agree with God for those that follow you for that promise? And that's just one. God waits for us to declare God's prophetic word over us, ourselves and our families. God waits for us to depopulate the enemies that has been oppressing our families for generations, and to drive out the enemies so that we can take our rightful inheritance. The Lord has an inheritance for you. The Bible promises, for I know the plans I have for you. Do you believe that God has a plan for you? Do you believe God has a plan for you? Not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. Let's go to verse 3. Whenever the Israelites planted the crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. It did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkey. Everything Israel was sowing was being destroyed. Gideon's family was trying to coexist with demonic oppression on their land, and it brought them to ruin. Trying to coexist, trying to work around the oppression, to work around the troubles, instead of claiming what God had given them already. That was Gideon's family's land. But he would not take it because he was walking in disobedience to the Lord. In verse 4, it talks about they camped on the land. They made home. The enemy of God made home where God said, that is your land. But the enemy camped on that land. And when it said it did not spare a living thing, this was their financial means. God was destroying everything. The Midianites were destroying everything. Did not spare a living thing. Destroying their financial means of living. It goes on to say in verse 5, they came up with their livestock and their tents and like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels, and they invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried to the Lord for help. The enemy of your home will invade your land, your promises of God, to ravage it until he impoverishes you materially, emotionally, until you give up. Now I speak to you men who lead homes. Till you give up, you stop fighting, you stop praying, you stop believing, you lose your will to live, to fight, and believe for you, your home, and those that follow you. You've heard that it said that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give you life. Jesus' plan for you and your home is life. Jesus' plan for this nation is life. But the devil has come to steal from God. In the parable of Jesus, he talked about how a seed was planted, a truth of the word of God was planted. But the devil, before he even had time to take root, stole it away. It could never happen to me. These promises in the word of God would never apply to me, my family. Never. But God says, this is true. And it's an open door before you. The other play in that parable, it talks about the devil coming, or the world with the demonic influence coming and choking the seed with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth. How many believe that wealth is deceitful? Wealth is deceitful. That is what the scripture says. It can be deceitful. And it chokes a lot of God's children from the promises he wants them to walk in. Let's go on to verse 6. Hallelujah. In verse 7, when the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched from you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. In verse 8 it says, I brought you out of the land of slavery. Verse 9, I drove your enemy out before you, and what was theirs I gave to you. And I gave you a commandment, do not worship the gods of the land in which I'm depossessing. Don't worship those gods, but you did not listen to me. You did not listen to me. Local gods, the Amorite gods, they had promises maybe. Worship me or do this or that and you'll get prosperity. You'll get everything you want. God is above every local god. Amen? God has defeated death, hell, and the grave. God has defeated every other god. But he says, worship me alone. God's judgment against Gideon's father's generation was they did not listen to me. If you go on to verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joaz the Abarzite, which is Gideon's father, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. Gideon's son was on his father's land, but he wasn't acting like it was his. He was threshing wheat in the winepress, trying to hide from the enemy. He was not acting. He was on his own inheritance, on what God had given him, and he was acting like he was a visitor, scared of the enemy. God does not want you to live scared of the enemy, scared of Muslim radicalists, scared. God does not want to have you live scared. If God says in your word, in his word, I will give you every place you put your feet. He said that to Abraham. God wants you to operate in a certain amount of authority that he has given you. Verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. God was giving Gideon a new name, a name he could live up to, and a name he could leave behind. In Revelations, we read where God said, I will give you a new name. God was giving Gideon a new name, and he was calling him Mighty Warrior. He goes on to verse 13. He says, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? When they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of the Midianites. Notice that he says, why have you forsaken us? But God says, I am with you, Gideon. He did not say, I am with the nation of Israel. I am with your father's generation. What did he say about them? He said, they would not listen to me. The first step to redeeming your name and claiming what God has, the name that God wants to give you, is start with the little strength you have. God did not answer his question directly, but he went on to tell him a commandment in verse 14. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midianites' hand. Am I not sending you? Go in the strength you have. When God wants to give you a new name, he will challenge you to go after it. He will not do it for you. He will present it to you as an open door. He will not push you through that open door. He will open it before you, and it is your choice. Will you raise and live another life where God could say, but they would not listen to me? Or will you be a new generation who will listen to the Lord? Before you is an open door that no one can shut. God went on to tell the church of Philadelphia, you only have little strength, yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. The second step to claiming the name that God has for you is agree with God and speak your new name over yourself and your family. Verse 15. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The name that Gideon had been given and the name that he was confessing over his life is, I am the weakest member of the weakest family in this entire area. That was what he was confessing over his life. I am the weakest member of the weakest family in this whole area. But God had other plans and other names that he was calling Gideon Mighty Warrior. And God had plans for him to confront the enemy instead of him to continually say over his life, I am the weakest member of the weakest family. In verse 16 it says, the Lord answered, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Prophetic, he gave him a prophetic word and said, you will strike down all the Midianites. And then it goes on in verse 17, Gideon asked, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Gideon showed little faith here. He basically wanted a sign. God, give me a sign. But you know what? God was patient, and God is patient with you. Why did Gideon have little strength? Because it was not modeled in his home. He didn't see it. He must have had a father who told him about the God of who delivered them out of Egypt. But he also had a father who had built altars to idols and disobeyed God. And it was confusing. And so he had little strength. He had no model of faith. So he asked God for little signs. But God was patient and he gave him those signs so that he could take him to the next step. Third step to redeeming or claiming your name is to tear down and to build up. To tear down and to build up. So Gideon gets right with God, but then God wants him to start a fight in his own family, within his own family. The Lord said to him in verse 25, chapter 6, verse 25, that same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd and the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altars to Baal and cut down the Asherah poles beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God at the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah poles that you cut down, and offer the second bull as a burnt offering. In order to claim your name, sometimes you have to tear down the altars of those in your culture or even in your own family. And it will start a fight. But God had called Gideon to do this. He said to him, tear down your father's altars in your own life. Tear them down. Do not serve those gods. Serve me only. You are not part of the weakest family. I have said mighty warrior over you. You will either worship at the altar of I am the weakest member of the weakest family who can do nothing, or you will serve me who has called you mighty warrior and go and defeat the Midianites. So we tore down those false idols. And then he went on to say, God went on to tell him, build a proper kind of altar. And not only cut down the Asherah pole, but take the wood that you cut down and burn it when you built this altar to me. Sometimes when God wants to give you a new name, the process of you tearing down and building up is the process of you coming before the Lord and saying, this is what has been important to me, coming from a family of idol worshipers, but I give everything before you. I am a living sacrifice before you. Everything, I lay it down. I surrender my life to you. That is, in essence, what God is telling him to do when he says, cut the Asherah pole down and burn it and completely destroy it. There may be idols in your family or in your culture about education, status, money, fame, etc. When you come to Jesus Christ and you want to get his name, his strength, sometimes you have to lay it all down completely. And if the Lord may bring it back, but he won't do it until you lay it down. So we pursue the enemies of God. The fourth step to claiming your name is follow God's lead to confront your fears. In verse 27 of chapter 6, Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in daytime. So God, he did obey God. But it was clear that he was afraid of his father, and he was afraid of the established men of the town and what they would think of him following God wholeheartedly. You need to be aware when Jesus says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. There is nothing peaceful about when God calls you, and if you choose a different destiny than the family before you has chosen. They will confront you, and God will lead you to do things like tear down your father's altar and build me a proper altar. It's a confrontation, and many people back down at this point. They won't follow God this far. They won't do it. And if they won't, they won't achieve what God has desired for them. But Gideon did. Even though he did it in secret, he was found out. And they came to kill him. And his father said, well, if he's done this to Baal, let Baal defend himself. And so they gave him a new name. Let Baal deal with him, which is what they called Gideon. Okay, well, let's see how strong this God is. And Baal never dealt with him. The fifth step to claiming your new name is lead courageously by example. Lead courageously by example. If you go to Judges chapter 7, verse 15. What God did was he called Gideon into greater and greater faith, and he challenged him. And when he was about to take the Midianite camp, God was gracious to him, and he said, I tell you what, since you're afraid, sneak down in the camp with one of your servants and listen to what they're saying about you. And that's exactly what he did. And the enemy described a dream in which a loaf of bread came and destroyed the Midianite camp. And they said, surely This is Gideon that we're dreaming about. He was so filled with faith at that moment, and he went back to the army. And he told them, he said in verse 15, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. And he returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." He began to confess over those that were following him. He began to confess, God has given them into your hands. He was taking the promise he had received from the Lord, that he said, "I will deliver all of Midian into your hands." And then he started to confess and prophesy over those that followed him. "They will go into your hands." He was starting to operate as a conduit of God's blessing through his life to those that followed him. He was confessing over them, "God has given him into your hands." And then he went on to tell them in verse 17, "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When you get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do." That may sound like Apostle Paul when he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That is the man God is looking for. God is looking for a man he can start a legacy with. He scours the earth and he looks for them. He is no discriminator of persons. He doesn't care what your background is, what your economic status is, what your family is. He doesn't care. He looks upon the heart, and he's looking for a man to start a legacy with. He's looking for a man who will take his little strength, his mustard seed faith. God will be gracious. God will be patient. He will give you signs. He will challenge you. But eventually, he will call you to do what you've called him to do. So here's the rest of the story. Judges 8:28. It says, "Thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again during Gideon's lifetime, and the land enjoyed peace for 40 years. God's solution to the entire nation's issue of disobedience was finding a man that would follow him with all of his heart. And he took that man in his little faith and walked him through step by step, being patient with him, giving him signs, giving him encouragement so that he could bring peace from the enemy for an entire nation of those that followed after him. God is no discriminator of persons. He looks for a man or a woman in this nation in whom he can put that kind of spirit and speak over you and say, "You are a mighty warrior. I am with you. Come and follow me." There is the rest of the story, though. And I didn't share this in the first service, but I felt led by the Lord to do it. Take heed, though. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. I'll finish with this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 10, verse 11. "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come." What Paul is talking about is the examples of Israel's history written in the Word of God. So you can apply this, that God has written down things for us to learn from. Gideon is one example. Verse 12, so if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide you a way out so that you can stand up under it. God gave Gideon an incredible victory. God did miraculous signs through Gideon's life. And God set it all up, you know, with the 300 warriors. I mean, he basically did everything so Gideon Gideon was faithful and obedient. But when he defeated all the Midianites, captured their kings, and killed them with 300 men, that was God's hand, not Gideon. That was God. It was clear. But after that, they said, "We want Gideon. We want to make you a king. We want to make you a king." He said, "No. Let the Lord be your king. Neither me nor my sons will be your king. Which was good. He made a good call there. But then he said, but I do have one request. Bring me all your gold. Bring me the gold from the Midianites and the gold earrings and everything and lay them before me. And he did. And they did. The Israelites did. And then he created an ephod. And in some commentaries believe that there was also associated with that a teraphim, which is kind of like an idol. And it said of the Lord, it said that God, that Gideon created this gold ephod, and with their believing that there was also a teraphim or like a household god associated with it. And it said it became a snare to Gideon and his family and his life. The mixture of worshiping God and worshiping idols that had been in his father's life, he had allowed to come into his life. God looks for a man who will follow him day after day after day. And he will give you a good name. Gideon was a faithful man and God did miraculous things for him. But at the end of his life, he had allowed the success of God's blessing and financial reward that came with it to be a snare to him and his family. And the next generation, it was undone. It didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. When Paul writes about, take heed lest you fall, that's a warning from the Lord. God not only wants to take you from lowly places to lift you up high, but when you're up there, you are to give him complete glory. No matter what reward comes your way, because if you are in this place of height and honor, he was wanting to be the king. They asked him to be the king of the whole nation at that place of height and honor. I've said, and I said this in Ethiopia, and it's true everywhere in the world, sometimes the greatest test of a nation and of a person is success. Is success. When you get there, and Gideon got there, God fulfilled him, God delivered him and everything. But then at that place of height, those old tendencies of his family started to creep in again. You have to destroy it. When God told Gideon, the Asherah pole, tear it down and burn it and completely destroy it. You have to destroy it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that for these people, Lord God, they are blessed of you, Lord. You have a calling upon them, Lord, like you had on Gideon, to follow after you and deliver a nation for the Lord and for you, Lord God. God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would by your Spirit speak to them, Lord God, that you would give them the anointing, Lord God, to become all you've called them to be, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God, that there are examples like Gideon and others, Lord God, that served you, Lord God. Lord God, may we take them as warnings, Lord, and encouragement, Lord. As warnings, Lord, and encouragement, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. God, I just pray that these people would stop. If they are, don't confess. I'm the weakest member of the weakest family. But they would begin to confess over their lives that which you've spoken through your scripture and even by your Spirit to some. I am with you, the Lord says, mighty warrior. I know the plans I have for you, mighty warrior. Hallelujah. I know the plans I have for those that follow you. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you would find an obedient people in this nation and in this place. Lord God, you have a heart to drive out the enemies of this nation before them. But it will take a man who will walk and a woman who will walk tenaciously with you in faith, not give up, not compromise, not give in to subtle things, Lord God, that may be even in their past of following you, Lord. God, may they be the man or woman who are the inspiration to those that follow him, that are a model of faith, a model of faithfulness, a model of humility, a model of being obedient to the Lord with no compromise, no mixture, Lord God. so that those that follow have a clear path. And you'll take this nation, Lord, family by family, person by person, Lord, from the hand of Satan and to give it into Jesus Christ, the Lord of every nation, the Lord of the earth, the one deserving all glory and honor and power. Hallelujah. So Lord, we give you honor today. We give you honor because you are the Lord of every nation. And we are nothing but your servants, Lord. Honor your name, Lord, through our lives, God. God, speak over us, Lord. Encourage those, Lord, who need encouragement, who need to be called mighty warrior. And warn those, Lord, that need warning, Lord. Take heed lest you fall. You are our Father, and we look to you because you love us. And we thank you, Lord. I just pronounce a blessing, Lord God, over these people. May they hear the word of God today. Thank you for your hope, Lord. Thank you for the hope and the promise you have for us, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you.